This is a hearing by the Antitrust and Monopoly Subcommittee of the Judiciary Committee, the committee consisting of Senator O'Manny, Senator Hennings, Senator Carroll, Senator Langer, Senator Wiley, Senator Dirksen. Mr. Dixon is counsel for the committee. Before stating very briefly the issue involved, we're honored to have with us the distinguished senior senator from Oklahoma who has who will introduce one of the witnesses at this time, and this witness will be heard second, but Senator Kerr must go to preside at another meeting.
One of Oklahoma's outstanding citizens and ambassadors at large, temporarily sojourning with headquarters in New York, Mickey Mantle. He's a man of few words, which everybody knows in view of the fact that they understand the way that Casey Stengel operates. Mickey with Stengel is just a little bit like the lad at the home of Patrick being buried was when the good priest came for the final event and gathered the family around, and he said, "Well, now, what were your father's last words?" And the little boy spoke up and said, "He didn't have none, Father. Ma was with him to the end." And so that'll be the way with Mickey, except I hope Casey will let him tell this committee what he knows about this deal.
Well, thank you very much, Senator Kerr. We're glad to have you with us, and honored to have you introduce Mickey Mantle. Thank you very much for being with us. Do you have a copy of Hennings' bill? As chairman of this subcommittee, I have prepared a brief statement about what the hearing is about, which will be printed in the record at this point, and which I will summarize. The hearing today pertains to two identical bills that have been referred to this committee dealing with the applicability of the antitrust laws to the organized team sports of baseball, football, basketball, and hockey. The hearing is primarily on H.R. 1037, a bill filed 10378, which passed the House of Representatives and which has been referred to this committee. And on S-4070, filed by Senator Hennings, a member of this committee, and on behalf of himself and others. The bill H.R. 10378 was offered as a substitute for the Seller bill by several members of the House of Representatives. The situation is that in the Federal Baseball Club of Baltimore versus the National League case back in 1922, baseball was held not to be a commercial enterprise and not within the purview of the antitrust laws. This was reaffirmed in the Toulson case in 1953. In the international boxing case, it was held that boxing was not exempt from the antitrust laws. Later on, the matter of football came before the Supreme Court in the Radovich case, 1957, and the Supreme Court said that football was not exempt, that if they had to decide the matter from the beginning, that they'd probably decide that baseball was not exempt, but in view of the stare decisis of the previous cases, they reaffirmed the baseball exemption. Several solutions have been offered, one in the Seller bill, which would put all sports under the antitrust laws, except that each individual case would be considered as to whether any exemption was reasonably necessary. The second solution to the problem provides a complete exemption from the antitrust laws, and the third provided that all professional sports be in, that there be an exemption except for certain purposes. The subcommittee has no preconceived idea concerning the solution to these problems. It will hear all the testimony on the evidence received and make, I'm sure, whatever legislative recommendations are appropriate. I'm quite certain these recommendations will be made in full recognition of the fact that professional sports activities are very close to the hearts of all Americans, and that these sports are so vital to our way of life that they must not be allowed to fade from the American scene. Because of the nearness yesterday of the All-Star baseball game, which was held in the city of Baltimore, and the fact that all but two major league teams had an off day today, we invited to appear before the subcommittee several of the great names of baseball. We shall hear today from Casey Stengel, manager of the New York Yankees, Mickey Mantle of the New York Yankees, Ted Williams of the Boston Red Sox, Stan Musial of the St. Louis Cardinals, Robin Roberts of the Philadelphia Phillies, and the National League Players Representative, Mr. Edward Yost of the Washington Senators, and the American League Players Representatives. Later on, we will hear from such former great baseball players as Jackie Robinson, Bob Feller, and from the Department of Justice, the Federal Trade Commission. We'll hear, of course, from Mr. Frick and of the president of the the Commissioner of Baseball, and George Troutman of minor leagues. And we will hear also, and Senator Langer has suggested this, of Calvin Griffith of the Washington Senators, and many others. We will try to get down to the... We will also, of course, hear from representatives of football, hockey, and basketball. Ordinarily, we would have the departments appear first, but under these circumstances, we do have, are honored to have these players and others directly connected with baseball present. Because of a game tonight in New York, and they must get away as quickly as possible, we're going to hear from Mr. Casey Stengel first, and then Mickey Mantle, and then Ted Williams will be our third witness, Stan Musial fourth, Robin Roberts, and Eddie Yost in that order. We have asked permission to sit until when the Senate's in session, and so we'll get started at this time. Mr. Casey Stengel. Oh, excuse me just a minute. Maybe I'll Senator Langer, do you have a statement you wish to make before we get started?
No, I have none at this time.
Thank you. Senator O'Malley.
I think I'll pass for the present, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wiley, you...
I think from the letters that I've had... there's a great deal of misunderstanding as to what the real purpose of our hearing is. So as the hearing progresses, I'd like to know what effect, if the various bills should become, one of these bills should become law, what effect will be upon the rights of the public? How, if they're all taken out from under the antitrust laws, where the public would lose or the public would gain? I think that's the real issue in this hearing.
Thank you, Senator Wiley, for that contribution. Senator Carroll.
No comments.
Senator Dirksen.
Mr. Chairman, I must excuse myself from the hearing directly because of a meeting of the Appropriations Committee on a mutual aid bill.
I'm in the same fix. I have foreign relations coming on.
Before proceeding with the hearing, we will place in the record at this point S-4070, Senator Hennings, and bill on behalf of himself and many other co-sponsors, H-R-10378. We'll also place in the record the The Seller bill, which was reported by the House Judiciary Committee, and all the various decisions in connection with baseball, football, and boxing, which I have referred to. Senator Hennings, who, on the course of a conflicting engagement, could not be here this morning, has furnished the committee with a statement. He asked that the first two pages be read or summarized. The entire statement will be put in the record. Mr. Dixon, will you read the first, briefly leaving out the names?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The statement is briefly as follows. I wish to make a statement at the outset of these hearings in behalf of Senate Bill 4070, which I introduced last week and which is a companion bill to the one which passed the House on June 24th by a very large majority. I introduced this bill in the Senate because, in my view, it represents the best solution to a most serious problem which faces organized team sports in this country today. When I introduced it last week, I asked that it lie on the table a few days in order that any senators who wish to co-sponsor it might do so. I am most pleased to announce that the response was overwhelming. There are now 45 co-sponsors of this bill. Those names follow. My own interest in professional sports dates back many, many years, at least to the time when I was head track coach at Washington University while I was attending law school. There are probably other old pros among the sponsors of S-4070. I hope that some of these made more money than I did, but I doubt seriously if any of them has a greater interest in sports, either professional or amateur, than I do. The problem that today seriously threatens the very existence of the four major team sports, baseball, football, basketball, and hockey, is one of excessive litigation, or equally serious, the constant threat of litigation with respect to certain practices which have been traditional in these sports. Although the Supreme Court has consistently exempted baseball practices from the operation of the antitrust laws which apply to regular commercial enterprises, the Court has based its decisions on the ground that the Congress did not intend these laws to apply to the unique business of baseball. However, the Court has refused to exempt other major team sports. It has invited the Congress to legislate with respect to the applicability of the antitrust laws to these sports. S-4070 recognizes the unique aspects of the football, basketball, and hockey businesses, as well as the uniqueness of baseball. It would put them all on a par. Although professional football, basketball, and hockey have not been organized on a national basis, as long as baseball, they are unique, and we should do everything possible to preserve them. They, like baseball, cannot survive if subjected constantly to legal harassment under the antitrust laws. Granted, all these sports are businesses, but they differ in many respects from normal commercial enterprises. Therefore, they should not be subject to the same rules and regulations as other businesses if we wish to preserve them. In the House of Representatives, there were two different approaches to the solution of this problem of preserving the major team sports. One approach is contained in the bill which passed the House and is contained in S-4070. The other was principally sponsored by Mr. Manuel Seller, the able and distinguished chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Representative Seller deserves the highest commendation for his work on this problem, because it has been his interest and concern that has brought us close to a solution. I know that his objective is the same as those who favored a different bill in the House and those who have sponsored S-4070. We all wish to preserve our national sports. There is two other pages that should be included.
They'll be included. Our first witness is Mr. Casey.
Mr. Chairman, may I interrupt at this point?
Senator O'Manny.
I had not intended to make any comment at the beginning of this hearing, but the statements that have already been made prompt me to change my mind. I think that it's a privilege allowed to senators, whether they're in the uniform of the Washington baseball team on the diamond, or whether they're sitting in civilian garb in the Capitol. 36 years ago, as the chairman pointed out, the Supreme Court of the United States held that baseball was not commerce, not interstate commerce, and therefore was not subject to the antitrust law. As soon as the proposal was first mentioned to me for the exemption of baseball and certain other sports from the antitrust laws, I naturally raised the question immediately, why is organized baseball, having received from the Supreme Court an exemption from the antitrust laws, now seeking exemption by affiliating with certain other professional sport? The answer came promptly to mind that in all probability there was something in the bill which made it desirable in the minds of the managers of organized baseball. And when I use the word managers, I'm not talking, of course, of the playing managers. I'm talking of the men who actually manage the organized baseball teams and decide the policies of the two major leagues. The answer, I say, came promptly to mind, and that would seem to be that because the facts of the case now show that organized baseball is, in fact, commerce and is within the antitrust laws. If the major leagues and their attorneys were not a little uncertain now as to the validity of the decision of 36 years ago, they would not be here asking to join hands with football and hockey and whatever other sport is mentioned. It's because there is a growing conception throughout fandom that organized baseball is, in fact, a commercial enterprise. A gigantic commercial enterprise, which does not want to be regulated by the laws of Congress. And so they come to Congress to ask to be exempted. Now, the antitrust law, and all of the antitrust laws, are the result of the provision in the federal Constitution which gives to Congress the right to regulate commerce among the states and with foreign nations. A glance at the bill before us, Mr. Chairman, shows that this bill proposes to transfer to the men who conduct these professional sports the congressional power to regulate the right to broadcast and telecast reports and pictures of sports content. The fans of America are tremendously and vitally interested in the regulation of the rights to broadcast and to telecast sport exhibition. We know how some of these sport exhibitions are placed by those in control of the exhibits on closed circuits so that nobody can see a telecast except by paying an entrance fee to a theater someplace. There is the possibility that the regulation of radio and television broadcasting would ban television and radio broadcasts of baseball and football and hockey and other contests from the televisions and the radios that exist in millions of homes throughout the United States. I am more concerned in this hearing to have the authors of this bill explain the meaning of the various words that are to be found. And I say to Mr. Stengel and the players' representatives, that, of course, I'm sure the committee will be glad to hear what you have to say about the effect of organized professional sports upon the rights of players. But I would think the committee and the Congress will be much more concerned to know what it means, for example, when in the very first section of this bill it is said, quote, that the Act of July 2nd, 1890 as amended, the Act of October 15, 1914 as amended, and the Federal Trade Commission Act as amended shall not apply to any contract, agreement, rule, course of conduct, or other activity by, between, or among persons conducting, engaging in, or participating in the organized professional team sports of baseball, football, basketball, and hockey, which relates to, and then there are five separate subjects which are in the exemption grant. But I point out, Mr. Chairman, that this is a grant of congressional regulatory power to persons. Who they are, nobody knows. The bill doesn't say. Persons conducting, engaging in, or participating in organized professional team sport. I would like to have the players' representatives who speak now give some notion or some idea to the committee as to whether or not they believe that the players, individually or as an organization, will be given any opportunity whatsoever to participate in the conduct and the regulation of the enterprise in which they're engaged.
Thank you, Senator O'Malley. You have pointed up clearly the important issue involved in this legislation. I might say that Congressman Seller and Congressman Keating, who were the chief sponsors of the two versions of the bills in the House have been invited to appear, and they will appear and testify. And also, of course, Senator Hennings, as the chief sponsor here, will testify further. As I stated previously, changed our order of appearance because these players were in Baltimore yesterday, and we thought it well at some time to get some of the outstanding players to give us their views in connection with this legislation, and everybody else will be heard from fully who has had connection with the problem involved. Mr. Stengel, will you come around and sit down, sir? Yes, sir. Well, you can say anyone you wish, and just so you got the microphone. Well, you have a microphone there, Mr. Stengel. You're the manager of the New York Yankees. Will you give us very briefly your background, and then give us your views about this legislation?
Well, I started in professional ball in 1910. I've been in professional ball, I would say, 48 years. I have been employed by numerous ball clubs in the majors and the minor leagues. I started in the minor leagues with Kansas City. I played as low as Class D ball, which was in Shelbyville, Kentucky, and also Class C ball and Class A ball, and I have advanced in baseball as a ball player. I had many years that I was not so successful as a ball player as a game of skill. And then I was, no doubt, discharged by baseball in which I had to go back to the minor leagues as a manager. And after being in the minor leagues as a manager, I became a major league manager in several cities. I was discharged. We'll call it discharged because there's no question I had to leave. And I returned to the minor leagues at Milwaukee, Kansas City, and Oakland, California, and then returned to the major leagues. In the last 10 years, naturally, in Major League Baseball with the New York Yankees, the New York Yankees have had tremendous success. And while I am not the ball player that does the work, I have no doubt worked for a ball club that's very capable in the office. I must have splendid ownership. I must have very capable men that are in radio and television, which I no doubt you'll know that we mentioned the three names. You'll say they're very great. We have a wonderful press that follows us. Anybody should in New York City, where you have so many million people. Our ball club has been successful because we have it. And we have the spirit, 76. We put it into the ball field. And if you are not capable of becoming a great ball player since I've been the manager in 10 years, you are notified that if you don't produce on the ball field with the salary that you receive, we will allow you to be traded or play and give your services to other clubs. A great proof of that was yesterday. Three of the young men that were stars and picked by the players in the American League to be in the All-Star game was Mr. Serve, was at Kansas City, Mr. Jensen was at Boston, and I might say Mr. Trianis, that caught for the Milwaukee Ball Club. All three of those players were my members, and to show you that I was not such a brilliant manager, they got away from me and were chosen by the players, and I was fortunate enough that they came back to play where I was a success yesterday as a manager. Now, my opinion in baseball, if I've been in it 48 years, there must be some good in it. I was capable and strong enough at one time to do any kind of work. But I came back to baseball, and I've been in baseball. I've been up and down the ladder. I know that there's some things in baseball 35 to 50 years ago that are better now than they were in those days. In those days, my goodness, you couldn't transfer a ball club in the minor leagues, Class D ball, Class C ball, Class A ball. How could you transfer a ball club when you didn't have a highway? How could you transfer a ball club when the railroads then would take you to a town, you got off, and then you had to wait and sit up 5 hours to go to another ball club? How could you run baseball then without night ball? They had to have night ball to improve the proceeds, to pay larger salaries. When I went to work the first year, I received $135 a month. I thought that was amazing. I had to put away enough money to go to dental college. I found out it was better in dentistry. I've stayed in baseball. Any other questions you'd like to ask me? I want to let you know that at the legislative end of baseball, I'll have to have you men consider that what you're here for. I'll speak from the playing end of anything in the minors or the major leagues and do anything I can to help you.
Mr. Stengel, are you prepared to answer particularly why baseball wants this bill passed?
Well, I would have to say at the present time, I think that baseball is advanced in this respect for the help. Now, that's an amazing statement for me to make. Because you can retire with an annuity at 50, and what organization in America allow you to retire at 50 and receive money? I want to further state that I am not a ball player that is put into that committee. At my age, and I've been in baseball, I'm possibly the oldest man that's working in baseball. I would say that when they start an annuity for the ball players to better their condition, it should have been done. And I think it has been done. I think it should be the way they've done it is a very good thing. The reason they possibly didn't take the managers in at that time was because radio and television or the income to ball clubs wasn't large enough that you could have put in a pension plan. Now, I'm not a member of the pension plan. You have young men here that are, that represent the ball clubs, you know, as the players. And since I'm not a member and don't receive a pension fund, which you'd think, my goodness, he ought to be declared in that too. But I would say it's a great thing for the player. That's one good thing I'll say for the ball players, that they have an advanced pension fund. I should think it was gained by radio and television, or you couldn't have enough money to pay anything of that type. Now, the second thing about baseball that I think is very interesting to the public, or to all of us, that it's the owner's own fault if he don't improve his club, along with the officials in the ball club and the players. Now, what causes that? If I am going on the road and we are a traveling ball club, and you know the cost of transportation. Now, we travel sometimes with three Pullman coaches, the New York Yankees. And remember, I'm just a salary man and do not own stock in the New York Yankees. I found out that in traveling with the New York Yankees on the road and all, that it's best, and we've broken records in Washington this year. We've broken them in every city but New York, and we've lost two clubs that have gone out of the city of New York. Of course, we've had some bad weather. I would say that they're mad at us in Chicago. We fill the parks. They have to come out and see good material. I'll say they're mad at us at Kansas City, but we broke their attendance record. Now, on the road, we only get possibly 27 cents. I'm not positive of these figures, as I am not an official. If you go back 15 years, or if I own stock in the club, I'd give them to you. But I don't
know. Mr. Stengel, I'm not sure that I made my question clear.
Yes, sir. Well, that's all right. I'm not sure I'm going to answer yours perfectly, either.
I was asking you, sir, why it is that baseball wants this bill passed.
I would say I wouldn't know, but I would say the reason why they'd want it passed is to keep baseball going as the highest baseball sport that has gone into baseball, and from the baseball angle. I'm not going to speak of any other sport. I'm not in here to argue about other sports. I'm in the baseball business. It's been run cleaner than any baseball business that was ever put out in the 100 years at the present time. I'm not speaking about television, or I'm not speaking about the income comes into ballparks. That you have to take that off. I don't know too much about that. I say the ball players have a better advancement at the present time.
One further question, and I'll pass it to the others. How many players do the Yankees control, Mr. Stengel?
Well, I'll tell you, I hire the players, and if they make good with me, I keep them without any criticism from my ownership. I do not know how many players they own, as I am not a scout, and I cannot run a ball club during the daytime and be busy at night and up the next day and find out how many players that the Yankees own. If you get any official with the Yankees that is here, why, he could give you the names.
Farewell. Senator Langer.
Mr. Stengel.
Yes, sir.
What do you think is the future of baseball? Is it going to run, going to be expanded to include more clubs than there are there at the present time?
I think every chamber of commerce in the city that anybody would change a franchise, I think they'll be delighted because they have a hard time to put in a convention hall or to get people to come to your city. And if it's going to be like Milwaukee or Kansas City or Baltimore, I think they would want a major league team. But if I was a Chamber of Commerce member and I was in a city, I would not want a baseball team to leave the city, as too much money is brought into your city, even if you have a losing, and great if you have a winning ball team.
You look forward then, do you not, say 10 years from now or 20 years from now, that this business of baseball is going to grow larger and larger and larger. Isn't that right?
Well, I should think it would. I should think that it would get larger because of the fact that we're drawing tremendous crowds, I believe, from overseas programs in television. That's one program I've always stuck up for. I think every ball player and everyone should give out anything that's overseas for the Army free of cost and so forth. I think that every hospital should get it. I think that because of the lack of parking in so many cities, that you cannot have a great ballpark if you don't have parking space. If you are aged or 45 or 50 and have acquired enough money to go to a ball game, you can't drive a car on a highway, which is very hard to do when you're after 45 to drive on any modern highway. And if you're going to have to stay home, you need radio and television to go along for receipts for the ballpark.
Well, that brings us to another question.
Yes, sir.
And that is, what do you think of this pay-as-you-go?
Well, to tell you the truth, if I was starting in it myself, I would like to be in that line of business, as I didn't think they would ever have television and so forth here today. But they've got it here now. 40 years ago, you wouldn't have it around here yourself. You wouldn't have cameras flying around here every 5 minutes. But they got them here, and they're more quiet here than they are in a ball field. I'll give you a little tip. You run that very good.
Now, do you believe the time's ever going to come if you have pay-as-you-go or the World Series would be kept from the public unless they had a pay-as-you-go in their home?
Well, I tell you, I think that you've got a good argument there, and it's worthy of you to say that. I am thinking myself of anybody that's hospitalized and anybody that can't go to a ballpark. I should think if they could pass that, they'd try and pass it. But I don't think that they'd be able to do it because they've gone in television so far that they do reach so many outside people that they... You have to have a sponsor for everything unless you do go pay television, and that's what run all the big theaters out of business, where you have to use paid television. All the big theaters and all the big moving companies went broke. We know that. You see that now, or you wouldn't have a place to hold a television for paid. I don't know how they'd run that. Of course, I'm not on that side of the fence. I get paid a salary.
Well, just one further question, Mr. Stengel. You don't have to answer it unless you want to. That is there any provision made whereby these owners can keep a racketeer out of the baseball business?
Well,
can the baseball owners of the New York Yankees, for example, sell out to anyone who may want to buy the club at a great big price without the consent of the other owners?
That's a very good thing that I'll have to think about, but I'll give you one example. I think that's why they handled and put in as a commissioner Judge Landis, and he said, if there's a cloud on baseball, I'll take it off. And he took the cloud off, and they've only had one scandal, or if they had, it's just a one majority. How can you be a ball player and make 25 ball players without it being heard? It's bound to leak, and your play will show it. I don't think that an owner possibly could do something, but he can't play the game for you. It's the most honest profession, I think, that we have. Present day, of everything that's going on outside.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have just one final question. This is the Anti-Monopoly Committee that's sitting here.
Yes.
I want to know if you intend to keep on monopolizing the World Championship of the New York Yankees.
Well, I'll tell you, I got a little concerned yesterday in the first three innings when I saw that my three players that I'd gotten rid of, I said, well, if I lose nine, what am I going to do? And when I had a couple of my players that I thought so great of that didn't do so good up to the sixth inning, I was more confused, but I finally had to go and call on a young man in Baltimore that we don't own, and the Yankees don't own him, and he's doing pretty good, and I would actually have to tell you that I think we're more of the Greta Garbo type now. From success, we are being hated. I mean, from the ownership and all, we're being hated. Every sport that gets too great, or one individual. But if we made 27 cents and it pays to have a winner at home, why wouldn't you have a good winner in your own park if you was an owner? That's the result of baseball. An owner gets most of the money at home. And it's up to him and his staff to do better, or they ought to be discharged. Right.
That's all, Mr. Chairman. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator Langer. Senator O'Malley.
Mr. Chairman, may I say, Mr. Stengel,
that I congratulate you very much for what happened on the field at Baltimore yesterday. I was watching by television when you sent Mickey Vernon up to bat for early win. I noticed with satisfaction that he got a hit. And then I noticed when he got around second base, you pulled in Gil McDougall as a pinch hitter, and he knocked him in with the winning run. That's good management.
Thank you very much.
Did I understand you to say, Mr. Stengel, at the beginning of your statement, that you've been in baseball for 48 years?
Yes, sir. Oldest man in service.
How many major league teams were there in the United States when you entered baseball?
Well, there was, in 1910, there was 16 major league baseball teams.
How many are there now?
There is 16 major league clubs, but there was one year that they brought in the Federal League, which was brought in by Mr. Ward and Mr. Sinclair and others at one span after a war. And it's a very odd thing to tell you that during tough times, it's hard to study baseball. Now, I've been through two or three depressions in baseball and out of the war. The First World War, we had to quit baseball in August. The Second World War, we kept on and made more money because everybody was around going to the services. The larger the war, that they come to the ballpark. And that was an amazing thing to me. When you was looking for tough times, why, it changed with the different wars.
How many minor leagues were there in baseball when you began?
Well, there wasn't so many at that time because of this fact. Anybody to go into baseball at that time with the educational schools that we had were small. While you was probably thoroughly educated at school, you had to... We had only small cities that you could put a team in, and they'd go defunct. Why, I remember the first year I was at Kankakee, Illinois, and a bank offered me $550 if I'd let them have a little notice. I left there and took a uniform because they owed me 2 weeks' pay. But I either had to quit, but I didn't have enough money to go to dental college, so I had to go and go with the manager down to Kentucky. Now, what happened there was if you got by July, that was the big date. You didn't play night ball, and you didn't have play Sundays in half of the cities on account of a Sunday observance. So in those days when things were tough, and all it was, I mean, to pay, why, they just closed up July the 4th, and there you were, sitting there in the depot. You could go and go to work someplace else, but that was it. So I got out of Kankakee, Illinois, and I just go there for the visit now. I think that the now, you know how many clubs they have? Anybody will start a minor league club, but it's just like your small cities. The industries have left them. And they've gone west to California. And not that I'm a Missourian. Kansas City, Missouri, but I can see all those towns and everybody moving west. And I know if you fly in the air, you can see everything from a desert. You can see a big country over there that's got many homes. Well, now, why wouldn't baseball prosper out there?
Are the minor leagues suffering now?
Oh, I should say they are.
Why?
You know why?
I'd like to know why.
I don't think anybody can support minor league ball when they see a great official. It'd be just like a great actress or an actor had come to town. If Bob Hope had come here or Greta Garbo over there, half of them would go to see Greta Garbo and the other half Bob Hope. But if you've got a very poor baseball team, they're not going to watch you until you become great. And the minor leagues now will not, with radio and television, will not pay much attention to a minor league ball player. Softball is great for them because the parents are interested. He goes around with them. He watches his son. And he's more enthusiastic about the boy than he is some stranger that comes to town and wants to play in a little wooden park and with no facilities around to make you be interested. You might rather stay home and see a program.
How many baseball players are now engaged in the activity as compared when you came in?
Oh, I would say there is more.
You
think anymore, because we didn't have as many cities that could support even minor league baseball in those days.
Mm-hmm. How many players did the 16 major league clubs have when
well,
you
they
came
had,
in?
At that time, they didn't have as many teams. That's proper. They didn't have near as many teams below. Later on, Mr. Rickey came in and started what was known as what you'd say numerous clubs. you know, in which I'll try and pick up this college man, I'll pick up that college boy, or I'll pick up some corner lot boy. And if you picked up the corner lot boy, maybe he became just as successful as the college man, which is true. Now, he then had a number of players. Now, to own too many players is a funny thing. It costs like everything. I said, just like I made a talk not long ago, and I told them all when they was drinking and they invited me in, I said, you ought to be home. You men are not making enough money. You can't drink like that. They said, this is a holiday for the Shell Oil Company. And I said, why is it a holiday? They said, we did something great for 3 years, and we are given 2 days off for to watch the Yankees play the White Sox. But they were mostly White Sox rooters. I said, well, you're not doing right. I said, you can't take those drinks and all even on your holidays. You ought to be home and raising more children, because the big league clubs now give you $100,000 for a bonus to go into baseball. And by the way, I don't happen to have any children, but I wish Mrs. Stengel and I had 8. I'd like to put them in on that bonus rule.
Well, what I'm trying to find out, Mr. Stengel, is how many players are actively working for the major league teams now, as was formerly the case. How many players do you suppose?
You're right. I would honestly tell you that they naturally have more, and they're in more competition, too. You have to buck now a university, anyone who wants to be a hockey player. You might want
to
be...
No, let's stick to baseball for a minute.
Well, I stay in baseball.
Well,
I say
you were talking
I can't
about
name
hockey.
Them. If you want to know, you get any executive, you've got their names, bring any executive with the Yankees that's an official in the ball club, and he'll tell you how many players the Yankees have. Under his jurisdiction. And every club owner can tell you. Everyone that's an official. And they got enough officials hired, too.
Well, I recently...
With a long pencil, too, every day.
I recently saw a statement by a sports writer, a baseball
yes,
sports
sir.
Writer, that there were about 400 active ball players in the major leagues now. Would you think that's about correct?
Well, I would say that in the major leagues, each club has 25 men, which is the player limit. There's 8 clubs in each league. So you might say that's 400 players that are in the major leagues, and you mean outside of it that they own 200 or 300 each individual club. Isn't that what you have reference to?
Well, I was coming to that, but is that the fact that they
do?
Well,
I'd say that's what you would say. Well, I'd say if you want to find that out, you get any of those executives that come in here to keep those books. I'm not a bookkeeper for him, but I take the man when he comes to the big league. Now, they can give it to you, and each club should. Now, that don't mean, and I want to ask you, how'd you like to pay those men?
Well,
that's why they go broke.
I'm not in that business.
I was in that business a short time.
I'm not
in that
business.
It's pretty hard to make a living in.
About the stories that we read in the
press
are to the effect that minor leagues are suffering. There are no more major league teams now than there were when you came into baseball. And what I'm trying to find out is what are the prospects for the future growth of baseball, and to what extent have the 16 major league teams, through the farm system, obtained by contract or agreement or understanding control over the lives, the professional lives, I mean, of the players?
If I was a ball player and he was discharged, and I saw within 3 years that I could not become a major league ball player, I'd go into another profession. That's the history of anything that's in business.
Well, do you think that the farm system keeps any players in the minor leagues when they ought to be in the majors?
To say that it wouldn't keep any, I would be telling you a falsehood. I would say it might hold a few back, but very few. There is no manager in baseball that wants to be a success without the ability of those great players. And if I could pull them up to make money in a gate for my owner and for myself to be a success, I don't play about holding back.
Well, the fact is it not, Mr. Stengel, that while the population of the United States has increased tremendously during the period that you have been engaged in professional baseball, the number of major league teams has not increased. It remains the same as it was then. The number of players actually engaged by the major league teams are approximately the same as they were back in 1903. And there is now, through the farm system, a major league control of the professional occupation of baseball playing. Is that a correct summary?
Well, you have that, from the standpoint of what you've been reading, you've got that down very good. But if you are a player...
I'm trying to get it down from your standpoint as a 48-year man in baseball.
That's why you give me yours. I've been discharged 15 times and rehired, so you get rehired on ability. And they don't want a good ball player leaving. And I always say a high-priced baseball player should get a high salary, just like a moving picture actor. He should not have to get the same thing as the 25th man on a ball club that's very fortunate that he's sitting there on your ball club. And I say it's very hard to have skill in baseball.
You're not changing the subject, are you, Mr.
Stegall? No. I asked the question that I told you, that if you want to find out how... minor league baseball is terrible now. How can you eat on $2 and a half a day? When you're up here, you can eat on $8. Or better than $8. Now, how can you travel in a bus all night and play ball the next night to make a living? How can you, a major league man, make it so that you don't? Is he going to fly all of them to each place?
I'm not arguing with you, Mr.
I'm just saying minor league ball has outgrown itself like every small town has outgrown itself industrially.
Well, does
because
that mean...
they don't put a plant in there to keep the people working. So
does that mean, in your judgment, that the major league baseball teams necessarily have to control ball playing?
I think that they do. I don't think that if I was a great player and you released me in 4 years, I think it'd be a joke if you released a man, he played 1 year for you and then bid for his job and played the next year. We'd say out of Washington, he played in New York the third year, I'll play in Cleveland and put himself up at a stake. I think that they ought to be just what they have. A man that walks in and sees that you get fair compensation, and if you are great, be sure you get it. Because the day you don't report, and the day you don't open the season, you're hurting the major league and hurting yourself somewhat, but you are not going to be handicapped in life if you're great in baseball. Every man that goes out has a better home than he had when he went in.
Did I understand you to say that in your own personal activity,
yes,
as manager, you always give a player who is to be traded,
yes, sir,
advance notice?
I warn them that. I hold a meeting. We have an instructional school. Regardless of my English, we got an instructional school.
Your English is perfect. I can understand what you say, and I think I understand what you mean.
Yes, and you got some very wonderful points there. That's right. Now, I would say in an instructional school, we try you out for 3 weeks and we clock you. I mean, just like how good you're going to be before you go into service. When you come out of the service, we got you listed. We know if you're handicapped in the service. We know that you got to play in sport in the service. We have instructors that teach you. They don't have to listen to me if you don't like me. I have a man like Cassetti. He's never been to a banquet in his life, never would, but he does do a big job. He's like Art Fletcher on the field. He teaches that boy and teaches his family. He'll be there all day long with a baseball to teach him. I have a man for first base, second base, short. That's why the Yankees are ahead. We've advanced so much that we can take a man over and make him a big league player, and if he don't, we advance him where he has to play against another opposition to us. And I'm getting concerned about the opposition. I'm discharging too many good ones.
Mr. Chairman, I think the witness is the best entertainment we've had around here in a long time. And it's a great temptation to keep asking him questions, but I think I better desist.
Senator Carroll, Mr. Stengel, I'm an old Yankee fan.
Yes.
And I come from a place that I think we've made some contribution to your success. From Denver, and I think Denver is... you've got many players in the Yankees from Denver. But the question that Senator Kefauver asked you...
Yes, sir.
What, in your honest opinion, is the need for this legislation in view of the fact, with your 48 years of experience, baseball has not been subject to antitrust laws?
No.
It is not now subject to an antitrust law. What do you think the need is for this legislation? And before you answer that,
I had a conference with one of the attorneys representing not only baseball, but all of the sports. And I listened to your explanation of Senator Kefauver. It seemed to me it had some clarity and clearness. The attorney, I asked him the question. I said, well, what is the need for this legislation? Well, he said, I wonder if you would accept his definition. He said they didn't want to be subjected to the ipsy-dixit of the federal government because they would throw a lot of damage suits on the ad damnum clause. He said, in the first place, the Toulston case was sui generis, and he said, this is de minimis non curat lex. Do you call that a clear expression?
Well, you're going to get me there.
Well, I realize that these questions are put to you. I suppose these are all legislative and legal questions. And really, on your experience as a manager, do you feel that the farm system, the draft system, the reserve clause system is fair to the players and to the managers and to the public interest?
I think the public is taken care of, rich and poor, better at the present time than years ago. I really think that the ownership is a question of ability. I really think that the business manager is a question of ability. Some of those men are supposed to be very brilliant and in their line of work, and some of them are not so brilliant, that they have quite a bit of trouble with, that when you run an operation of a club in which the ownership maybe doesn't run the club. Now, I would say that the players themselves, I told you, I'm not in on that fund. It's a good thing. I should say I ought to be in on it, tell you the truth. But I know it's a great thing for players.
I'm not thinking about the fund now, and I'm going to interrupt
you. If you're going to think about the fund, you've got to think of radio and television and pay television.
I don't want to talk about radio and television. I want to talk about the reserve clause and the draft system.
All right. I would like to have been free 4 times in my life, and later on I've seen men free, and they make a big complaint that they was robbed. And if you're robbed, there's always some club down the race that will give you an opportunity. And some young men send out 50 telegrams and only two are answered.
Mr. Stengel, that isn't the question I ask you. I ask based upon your long experience.
Yes, I wouldn't be in 28 years if it wasn't all right.
I understand that. But
well,
in your long experience,
why would I stay in it?
In your long experience,
yes.
Do you feel you've had experience through the years?
That's
now
true.
You have a draft system, a reserve clause in the contract. Do you think you could still exist under existing law without changing the law?
I think it's run better than it's ever been run in baseball for every department.
Well, that then I come back to the principal question, and this is the real question before this body.
All right.
Then what is the need for legislation if they're getting along all right?
I didn't ask for the legislation.
I think that's a very fair answer and a very good one, and that's the question that Senator Kefauver put to you,
and it's the
question that Senator O'Mandy put.
That's right.
Are you ready to say that there's no need for legislation in this field, then, insofar as baseball is concerned?
As far as I am concerned, from drawing a salary and from my ups and downs and being discharged, I always found out that there was somebody ready to employ you if you were on the ball.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stengel.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stengel. We appreciate it.
Could I ask one more question?
Just a minute, Mr. Stengel.
Yes.
Senator Langer has another question.
Oh.
Can you tell this committee what countries have baseball teams besides the United States, Mexico, Japan?
That's it. I made a tour with the New York Yankees several years ago, and it was the most amazing tour I ever saw for a ball club to go over where you have trouble spots. Wouldn't make any difference whether he is a Republican, Democrat, and so forth. I know that over there we drew 250,000 to 500,000 people in the streets, in which they stood in front of the automobiles, not on the sidewalks. And those people are trying to play baseball over there with small fingers. And I say, why could you do it? But they love it. They're crazy about baseball, and they're not worried of the handicap. And I'll tell you, business industries run baseball over there. And they are now going to build a stadium that's going to be covered in 4 years, where you don't need a tarpaulin if it rains. That's right.
I don't believe.
South America is all right, and Cuba is all right, but I don't know. I've never been down there except to Cuba. I've never been to South America, and I know that they broadcast games, and I know we have players that are playing from there. I tell you what, I think baseball will spread, but if you were talking about anything spreading, we'd be talking about soccer. You can go over in Italy, and I thought they'd know DiMaggio every place. And, my goodness, you mentioned soccer, you can draw 50 or 100,000 people. Over here, you're having a hard time to get soccer on the field, which is a great sport, no doubt.
What I want to know, Mr. Tingle, is this. When the American League plays the National League, the World Series, it's advertised as the World Championship.
That's true.
I want to know why you don't play Mexico or Japan or some other country and really have a World Championship.
Well, I think you have a good argument there. I would say that a couple of clubs that I saw, it was like when I was in the Navy, I thought I couldn't get special each, you know, unless I played who I wanted to play. So I'd go and look over the team. If they got off of a ship, I'd play them. But if they'd been on the land too long, my team couldn't beat them. So I would play the teams where at least 6 months, I'd say, you're the club I want to play. Now, I would like to play those countries, and I think it should be nationwide instead of, and government-wise, too, if you could possibly get it in.
Well, do you think the day is ever going to come, or maybe 5 years from now, or 10?
I'd say 10 years, not five.
When the championship team of the United States will play the championship team in Mexico.
I really think it should be that way, but I don't think you'll get it before 10 years. Because you have to build stadiums, and you have to have an elimination in every country for it. And you have to have weather at the same time, or how could you play? Unless you'd hold a team over.
Well, don't you think these owners are going to develop this matter of World Championship to take in other countries besides
I should think they would do that in time. I really do. I was amazed over in Japan. I couldn't understand why they'd want to play baseball with short fingers and use same-size ball and not the size and compete in baseball, and yet that's their great sport and industry's backup.
In other words, the owners someday, in your opinion, Mr. Stengel, are going to make a lot of money by having a championship team of one country play another country.
Well,
And keep on eliminating until they really have a world champion.
Well, that's
right?
What I say. I think that it's not named properly right now unless you could go and play all of them. You'd have to do that.
It's all, Mr.
Chairman. Mr. Stengel, one final question. You spoke of Judge Landis and the fact that he had a rather absolute control over baseball. There was a clause in Judge Landis's contract, which is as follows. We, the club owners, pledge ourselves to loyally support the commissioner in his important and difficult task, and we assure him that each of us will acquiesce in his decisions, even when we believe them mistaken, and that we will not discredit the sport by criticism of him or one another. End of quote. This same clause was in Mr. Chandler's contract, but we do not understand it to be in Mr. Frick's contract. Do you think that the commissioner needs to have this power over the management?
I would say when there was a cloud over baseball, like any sport, you have to have a man that has the power to change things. Now, when Landis was in, that was the situation with baseball. You were bucking racetracks. We don't have a tote board.
Well,
we are playing baseball for admission fees. Now, we don't want a tote board in baseball. Who would? That'd be great. Have that out there, and you could go out there and, you know, use a tote board or say, does he get the first or won't he get the first, and so forth. Now, Landis was an amazing man. I'll give you an example of it. It's
well,
a good thing that brought him
Mr.
in. Well, I was discharged 1 year, And I was the president of a ball club at Worcester, Mass. So I discharged myself. And I sent it in to Landis, and he okayed it. Why was I president? Then I could release my player, couldn't I? And I was the player. So I'm the only player that was ever released by a president, and that's Worcester, Mass. That's in the record. So I got discharged.
Well, my question was, do you think the present commissioner ought to have the same power that Mr. Landis had?
I think the present commissioner, I think there's 16 men in baseball now that are that own ball clubs. We'll say that an individual can hardly make it anymore unless he's wealthy. That's how it's growing. I would say the biggest thing in baseball at the present time now, and with the money that's coming in and so forth, and with an annuity fund for the players, you can't allow the commissioner to just take everything that's coming in sitting in there as far as money is concerned. But I think he should have full jurisdiction over the player and his player's habits and the way the ball clubs and the umpires should be conduct their business in the daytime to keep it right on the field and at night up to it.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Stengel. We appreciate your presence here. The committee is very glad that Senator Munt, who's interested, is present. We'll be glad to have any senators testify or participate in the hearing. Mr. Mickey Mantle, will you come around, sir? Now, Mr. Well, I'm sure all of us saw you play yesterday, either in the sunshine, the hot weather at Baltimore, or on television. Well, you very briefly give your baseball experience. First, you're from Oklahoma.
I started playing baseball in 1949 with Independence, Kansas. That's Class D league. And in
Mr. Mantle.
In 1950, I went to Joplin, Missouri as a Class C league. And then in 1951, I come with the Yankees.
1951, you went with the Yankees. And, how many years is that altogether you've had in baseball?
Well, this would be my 10th year, I guess.
Well, Mr. Mantle, do you have any observations with reference to the applicability of the antitrust laws to baseball?
My views are just about the same as Casey's. Eh?
Well, if you will redefine just what Casey's views were, we'd be glad to know. Well, let's get at it another way. Now, what was your first team, Mr. Mantle, and your first assignment?
I didn't. What did you say?
Who did you play with first? What is the name of the team?
Independence, Kansas. The Independence Yankees.
And that's a Yankee farm team.
That's right, Class D team.
Class C. And then how long did you stay with...
I got out of high school in the middle of the season that year, and I just finished up the year with Independence.
Were you... a minor when you first signed the contract at that time?
I was 17 years old.
Then how long is that contract, did that contract last with you? I mean, how long were you under that contract?
Well, I'm still under it. I signed up for the Yankees, and I belong to them now.
Do you think the unlimited reserve right... and your clause in your contract is a good thing, a fair thing for the players?
Well, it's I don't have any gripes. I've been very fortunate, I think.
Well, under that clause, of course, they can do anything with you they want to. Is that right?
Well, if they don't do anything any different than they have been doing, I don't care what they do.
In other words, you're well satisfied with what's happened to you.
Yes, I am.
But what if some manager didn't think you were as good as you think you are and sent you back somewhere else?
Well, as like Casey said, if after I had twin brothers that signed with the Yankees just like I did, and they didn't do too good, so they just quit baseball. I think that's probably what you should do. If you play 2 or 3 years and you think you're not advancing like you should, I think you just should quit.
Do you think there should be any limit on the number of years that you're held under the reserve clause?
I don't know. I don't think about this stuff very much. You know, just...
How long have you been under contract with the Yankees?
Well, since 1949. I've never been under contract with anybody else.
And you were 17 years old then. You think a contract should be binding against a minor when he signs up?
Against a minor?
Yeah, you were 17 years old.
Well, I don't know.
What'd you get paid when you signed?
I got $150 a month, I think.
You mind telling us what you make now, or is that I don't want to ask you unless you want to tell? Doesn't make any sense.
I don't guess so. I better not.
You'd rather not?
No.
Do you players think you should have any say-so in the collection, in the selection of the commissioner of baseball?
I've never thought about that either. We have club representatives, you know, and they take care of all this kind of stuff. I just vote for them.
Well, Mr. Mantle, who is your club representative?
Bob Turley.
Do you have any opinion about why minor league is baseball is having a rough time and not doing as well as a lot of people in smaller cities would like for it to do?
Well, I think that if you have a good team, you have to win in the minor leagues. If you're on a loser, you don't draw very many people. In 1950, we had a real good team at Joplin, Missouri, and we still didn't draw. So I think it's just... I don't know. It's people, like Casey said, don't like to go out to a wooden ballpark when they can... Watch the kids are all playing Little League now, and they'd just soon see their own kids play Little League ball as go out to a ballpark and watch somebody they don't know play, unless it's Major Leaguers.
All right. Senator Langer, do you have some questions?
One question, Mr. Chairman. Supposing, Mr. Mantle, you became permanently disabled as a result of an accident like Mr. Campanella was. What pension would you get, and how long would it last?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that you have to be 50 years old, I think, to get a pension. I don't know. They probably take care of it.
I guess we'll get that testimony from the owner, Mr. Chairman. That's all.
Yes, we'll get that. Senator O'Malley.
No question.